talking about the upcoming Olympics in Beijing. And before we start, Jill, do you have anything you want to say to New Jersey?
Just in general?
Well, maybe an apology. I don't know. You were kind of rough on New Jersey recently.
Oh, I was not rough on New Jersey. I was edited to be rough on New Jersey. Because I was talking about, I was saying that New Jersey is the worst place to retire, which is true. And my dad is retired there. So I know. But the newscast cut off and it just was paused on me, eyes closed, saying New Jersey is worst place.
I laughed very hard when I saw that.
Me too. Me too.
That was pretty good.
And it was just so funny because I knew I was talking about New Jersey and I knew it wasn't in the best light. So I wore like my best animal print to be on to kind of like represent. And it was all just caught live on tape.
You just never know what's going to happen. That's the funny thing about things. All right. So let's talk Olympics though. I don't know if people are excited about the Olympics yet. Like it's tomorrow. The third, and I don't know how excited people are yet because, like, there's no announcers there. They're going to be, like, here in the U.S., and they're going to be syncing up there. There's no fans, but there are athletes, and there are, you know, events. So this is going to be a weird Olympics, I think.
It's going to be a weird Olympics. We actually technically have our first American winners for curling in the mixed doubles curling.
Oh, there you go.
Even though the broadcast doesn't start till tomorrow and no one cares.
No, it's so funny. Like I interviewed the curling guys when they won the last time and they're just terrific guys. In the end, nobody does care about curling in the U.S. unless you're in Minnesota or places like that. That is true.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, first win, I think still should be talked about, and it's really not yet. But I don't think it helps that we kind of just had the Olympics, right? We're used to a solid 2 years between summer and winter, and because of the pandemic, we really just had the summer games, which I would say gets a little bit more love anyway.
Yes.
So no, having I think that's true. Yeah, having that back-to-back I don't think is helpful to these winter Olympics.
Okay, fair enough. Some of the interesting things about the Olympics, I'm always mesmerized how much money is put into this. And like as an example, because I cover hockey, I know hockey players don't get paid a cent, right? They sometimes will get insurance to cover themselves, but that's about it. And yet the budget of these Olympics is $3.9 billion. Like how is that even possible?
Yes, $3.9 billion is probably a low estimate, and that's still much less. It's 14 times less than the Sochi Games back in 2014, which set the record.
Well, that's because of the snow, right? Like, because they had warehouses of snow.
Right, because it shouldn't have been there.
Right, and they had to, like, keep it cold and pay for that. I didn't understand any of that, to be honest.
Right. Yeah, that was bad. But it's interesting because, you know, Beijing has already had Olympics. So they're able to reuse a lot of the venues. I mean, five venues will be reused from the 2008 Summer Olympics that were there.
Okay.
So even still, you know, it's still costing $4 billion with all of the kind of reuse that they're able to do.
I think the reuse is fascinating because the one thing that always kind of bugs me is when you like look at a lot of these great Olympic places, like, I don't know, 20 years later and there's pictures like it's Innsbruck and like everything's broken and there's just, you know, plants and rubble. And so at least they're reusing it. I'll give them credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's still going to cost money, right? Because you still have to winterize all of those venues.
Yeah.
But I do think it's good that they can at least be reused.
Yeah. No doubt.
And it's actually the first city to ever host both the Summer and Winter Olympics.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's that's actually really good too. See, that's the good thing about these kinds of reports is you think you know it all about the Olympics and you really don't. So now this whole thing about a 47-minute trip from Beijing to Zhangjiakou, is that how you pronounce it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Yes, I think it's Zhangjiakou.
Zhangjiakou. What's significant? Oh, it's driverless. I see. So it's a driverless trip.
That's why it is so fast. Yeah. So it's the first driverless intercity railway in the world. It's all automated. It's only about 45 minutes, as you said. So that beats the over 3-hour trip it is by car.
Okay, that's a cool thing. But let me ask you, you have a choice. You're there. You could go by car or go by this driverless railway. Which are you choosing? I'm taking my car. I'm just telling you right now.
I'm going driverless.
You're going to go driverless. That's brave.
That's yeah. Brave. Yeah. You know, if you're going to go out, at least go out driverlessly.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is, though, like, if everything becomes driverless, like Keanu Reeves will never get another action movie. There'll be never be another Speed.
There won't be another Speed, but there will be 47 more John Wicks.
That's true. That's a good point.
So that's okay.
Beijing, everything's automated. I have friends there that, you know, are writers, and their food's being prepared by like a robot arm. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know. How do you feel about that? It's sort of like half Jetsons at this point.
Yeah, I feel fine about it. I mean, I cover jobs a pretty good amount, too, and like automation and what cities are automating more than others. Mm-hmm. Even in the U.S., you know, cities are automating way more than some others. I don't mind it. It's not great for jobs.
No.
But I don't know. It cuts. There's like less people to blame for things, which is good. You know, if anything gets your order wrong, it's like there's no face to that.
Right. But like, are you going to. So you're saying if they get it wrong, I mean, you're still stuck and you can't even yell at the robot arm. So then what?
You can, though. You can yell at the robot arm.
All right. I mean, you're going to look crazy, but all right. I found the weather interesting. I always find weather interesting anyhow. And you never know what it's like somewhere else. And the fact that 42 is the average daytime temperature, that would seem to be problematic since it's the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, 42 is the average. 22 at night, which, mm-hmm. you know, because of the time difference, a lot of these things are done at night. And a lot of the budget is spent on lighting it so that we're able to see in the, you know, the skeleton drivers are able to see what they're doing. But yeah, 42 during the day, probably not ideal.
No, so that was a little surprising. I mean, the population of Beijing, I mean, I don't know what to say about that. That's an incredible stat. 19.6 million? Just Beijing.
Just Beijing, yeah. So that's more than 100 times bigger than Salt Lake City, which was where we had it most recently. That was back in 2002. And that seemed crowded, so.
That's a way to put it. That seemed crowded. I mean, that is a lot of people. And I guess when they were having COVID issues, I knew there was a lot of people, right? I didn't think there was this many people. Like, I kind of at least understand why maybe they were having problems now.
Right. Yeah. So
you gave me a better understanding of that. So that's a good thing.
And, I mean, they're not adding as many people as they would be, right? Because of lingering pandemic protocols.
Nope, that's good. All right, so 25 venues in Beijing and neighboring city, you know, you said it before, I'm not going to say it again because I don't want to offend anybody. During the 17 days of games, powered with 100% renewable energy. Like, that's incredible.
Yes, that's a first, 100% renewable energy. We saw some strides being made along that route during the summer games where they were offsetting a lot of the energy used. But they have figured it out. And, you know, that's one thing that I think we'll see in more and more games moving forward is kind of this offset.
Okay. The flight time, I got to tell you, from New York to Beijing, 14 hours and 11 minutes. I don't know. That may be too much for me.
Yeah, that's too much for me. I would need a stop there and a stop back to break it up.
Yeah, like where would you stop? Would it be like San Fran or L.A. or someplace like that?
No, that would not break it up enough. No. I would need like a seven hours
okay.
from New York.
Yeah, I'm with you. 7 hours is a lot. I mean, you got to get up and walk around. You're like trying to sleep. You're trying to read. It's tough. All right. Can you pronounce the name of the panda who is the mascot of these games?
Yes, this one is pretty easy. As most panda names are. That's what I'll say about panda names. They keep it pretty simple. This mascot is named Bing Duen Duen.
Okay, that one I could have gotten. All right, it's cute. I like it. The crazy thing about pandas, though, and I just learned this recently, like every panda in the world is owned by China, whether it's here or anywhere else. Like, they own them all.
Well, they make them all. Imagine if everything made in China they also owned. So we're lucky it's just the pandas.
Yeah, no, now you really woke me up. Like that's the headset I'm wearing, the computer, the phone. that's problematic. You almost caused me to have a heart attack. So how many athletes are expected to attend these games? Because I have to be honest, this number was more than I thought.
Yeah, I mean. So every year they add more events, which means every year every country has the ability to add more athletes. So every year there's more athletes. This year it's 2.9 thousand that are expected to attend the games. So there's no foreign tourists, but about 3,000 athletes. And just on the U.S. team alone, there's 223 athletes. Which is a record for any country in the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, you wouldn't think the U.S. would have that. You'd think it would be somebody else like Germany or somebody else who is known to be better in the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, a lot of people are rich here, though. Yeah. And the Winter Olympics is the rich person's Olympics, is what I always say. Like these things, like snowboarding, skiing, these are not cheap. You don't just, like, go out to your track and be fast. Like, these are – you need money.
Well, you don't think Usain Bolt just walks out to a track? No, I'm just kidding. I get it. It's true. There are some weird events, though. I always think the Olympics just is, like – they get bored, and they always want to just make up events. Like, there's one event called Military Patrol. Like, isn't that what China does all the time anyhow?
Well, hopefully they win.
They're probably the best at it. All right, never mind. I don't want to start offending.
Well, this year, there's 7 new events added this year. Mm-hmm. One of them is the women's monobob.
What's a monobob?
That is. So a monobob is, first of all, it's female only. And it's... just one person doing the bobsleigh instead of two person.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, it's like, okay, why? But yeah, so there and there. And then, you know, with snowboard and skiing, there's so many events. They're all skiing, but like there's so many different events for them. There's 7 new ones this year, which makes it 109 events. In all, which is another record.
That's a lot. The monobob is interesting because, like, bobsled, isn't it good when you have, like, one of those super athletes that kind of started off and then everybody jumps in? When you're doing it yourself, like, that's hard work, man.
Yeah, exactly. There's monobob, there's two-person teams, and then there's 4-person teams.
Yeah. That's really tough. I mean... I did get to work out with a team from Lake Placid once on the land, and I think I was going on one of the sleds like 40 miles an hour, and we get to crash into a hay bale if you didn't do your landing right. And this was just on a big incline, and that was enough for me. Like, they were like, wow, you were on the fastest sled. Do you want to do it again? And I'm like, no, I didn't break anything. I could write about this and never do it again.
Yeah.
I'm real brave. Like, this is like, that was the fastest I'd ever been going with me just on something. And I was just like, I was scared like halfway through it. I'd be honest. It was scary.
Yeah. They're brave. I always wanted to try ski jumping.
Really? Oh, I'm scared of heights a little bit. That, I don't know what that view is like, but I think it would be great when you're at the top of the jump, and then I'd be terrified coming down.
Right. They also have that at Lake Placid, and I don't think they just let you try, but yeah, that's always interested me.
All right. Well, there you go. That's a bucket list item for you. Mm-hmm. The amount of money that NBC paid, like, I knew it wasn't getting canceled because there was a lot of money on the line. This is a lot. Like, I get it's for multiples, but is it possible for them to even make money off of this with such a big number?
Eventually. So NBC has paid over $12 billion for the rights to broadcast the Olympics through 2032. So the next six Olympiads. And just for, and maybe you can do this math because I can't, but just for the 2022 Winter Games, the ad revenue is expected to be around $600 million. Okay. So 600 times six.
Right.
Does that equal 12 billion?
Checking it. Hold on. Nope. That would be like three and change.
Yeah, it seems low. So, but I will say, so the $600 million that's projected this year is about 10% less than from the 2018 Winter Games, which goes along with what we're saying, is that there's just simply like less hype for this. It's also kind of competing with Super Bowl.
Yeah, oh, it's definitely competing.
More so, I mean, maybe, this year, because the Super Bowl is a little bit later. So right. It's like the whole time that the Olympics will be on. And I would think that the ad revenue is better for the summer games. So it could add up to $12 billion, but it doesn't really seem like it.
Do we know if there's Olympic gambling?
I'm sure there is.
Well, if there is, maybe that's where they're going to make it up, is with the new gambling outlets. Maybe they've gone in heavy with advertising.
Right. Yeah, it seems a little bit off. Seems like they overpaid, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, to the naked eye, it seems like they overpaid. Maybe a lot of people watch these things in perpetuity. Like, maybe it's enough that they don't have to create other content for a lot of their other channels because they could show it all at like 3 or 4 in the morning. You know, who knows? Okay, that's just an idea. The hours of coverage is staggering.
Yeah, almost 3,000 total hours of coverage across the NBC networks, and that's the most ever, another record for the Winter Olympics. But everything from NBC, that's what's going to have the most coverage, obviously. CNBC will have some, USA. There is an Olympics channel that has a lot, most of it. So, yeah, you should be able to see it everywhere, especially once you're streaming.
So if you're an insomniac, this is the best time of the year.
It is.
Except for those people that want to watch like a billion CSIs, I guess you're not going to be able to because this is on USA. And every time I seemingly turn on USA, like CSI is on from whatever year.
Yeah, it's a bad time for CSI fans.
And then, so like Visa's bought into this for a few years. And Coca-Cola, like I don't even know what to say about the Coca-Cola one.
Coca-Cola has almost sponsored the Olympic Games for 100 years. They're at 94 years.
Oof.
That's also been extended for the next six Olympiads. But I don't think they have the best commercials. The best commercials are from, like, the self-care, like P&G. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Those always have the best ones. And they make me cry. So I'm excited for those.
Wait, you're excited to cry?
I like a good happy cry. It's like, I'm not even happy. I'm so proud.
Oh,
I think it's because I'm a failed athlete.
Well, how failed are you? I mean, how high did you get? What did you do?
I ran hurdles and did triple jump for about 3 weeks into college.
Okay.
And then quit because, you know, it's hard traveling around the Big Ten. It's hard to be in Iowa for a whole weekend.
Yeah. If you feel like it's a month after a weekend, I get it.
Yeah, you see pictures of all your friends drinking and you're, you know, not and in Iowa. It's a lot. It really...
But you made it to, to college athletics is a big deal. I didn't make it to college athletics. I'm still an athletic guy and I still fool around with softball and some other things, but I never made it that high. So that's something to be proud of. That's good.
Yeah, I'm proud of myself. That's what I'm crying about.
Okay. All right. Well, do you watch This Is Us? Do you watch it to cry?
No, that's a completely different type of crying.
It's different crying. This is prideful crying. The other is just crying.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not interested in that.
All right. Now this one, this is getting me. The virtual torch relay. Like, come on.
Yeah. I don't really even know what to make of it. I guess I'll have to see it to really understand. Yeah. But it's the first ever virtual Olympic torch relay.
Like, this is the greatest event that you could either cheat, lie, or do from your couch. Like, that's the way I see it.
Torch relay?
Yeah, think about it. It's like if they say, hey, Russ, we're sending you the torch. You're going to get it by FedEx. You've got to just pretend that you've run it, like, you know, 30 miles, and then you ship it out to the next guy. I could be on my couch and just like, or on a Peloton and just running whatever the footage is behind that and say, yeah, this is great. Like, I don't understand what they're doing here.
Okay. Well, I hope it's not that. I was thinking it's like, I think the teams are going to be together, but just like on video, like the team itself will be together, just not with the other teams.
Okay, so
if it's
a team
one
thing,
person on Zoom, I think everyone will be upset. I think right. NBC will be like, okay, we need some money back here.
Right. All right. We'll see how that goes. Now, the Olympic medal bonuses. For one thing, the fact that there's no tax, I don't know what to make out of that because, like, I get taxed for everything, and so do you. And so, like, I'm not sure how to feel about that. And then is this, no matter the gender, everybody's equal?
This is no matter the gender.
Okay.
And yeah, we get taxed, but we don't like spend 18 years cross country skiing. I think it's okay. I think it's allowed. And that victory tax, it's a $0 victory tax for athletes with a gross income less than $1 million. So
right.
Most of these people have $1 million, except for the hockey players.
Why are you singling out the hockey players?
Because it's true.
Well, it's not true when the NHLers go, but since the NHLers are not there, it's true.
Right. And we haven't talked about that. This is another time, the second time in a row, that the NHL players are not giving a break to play in the Olympics.
Yeah. It was a lot. Like, I had so many conversations about this, done so many shows on it. It was one of those things where because of the pandemic and the NHL losing money hand over fist last year, owners never want to go to the Olympics anyhow, right? For the reason I said before, players don't make anything. They don't really get anything out of it. Some players maybe get some commercials out of it. And maybe you pick up a few fans, but it's really nothing that's ever been that quantifiable. But now this year, it was kind of like, well, like, we're really getting nothing, and now you want us to shut down our league. And guess what? COVID's already been doing that. So I got why they didn't do it this year.
Yeah. So are the players happy about it?
I would say it's 50-50. Some of the older players are happy because they get at least a week off, so they can go to Cancun and recharge. There are others that this could be their last Olympics that are not happy. So it's kind of in the middle.
Okay.
Now I'm going to break open your hockey thing here, because in 2021, Hillary Knight had a net worth of $1 million. See, I found one. I'm not going to say I'm going to find that many more. I found one.
There are some, but.
Yeah. You were right. I had to see if I could find one, and at least I did.
Yeah. I'm proud of myself. All of the skiers and snowboarders already have generational wealth.
Yeah.
So they're fine.
Yeah. No question. So the medal podiums, like, this has not been going on the whole time. I always assumed it was.
It's been going on for a lot of the time. It's the 90th anniversary of the medal podium at the Olympics. So, yeah, it's been a thing for a while, but yeah, not technically. I'm sure, like, in the beginning, only the people there were really watching. But now, since there's a TV element, there were, you know, fans let in, they needed to amp up the ceremonies.
Okay. Just like two more questions for you. This one I find fascinating. The Beijing ranks the 19th safest city in terms of health security in 2021. In the world? In just China? Where is that?
This is in the world. So the safest city right now is Tokyo. Second safest, Singapore. Third safest, Hong Kong. Beijing is still in the top 20 at 19. The U.S. is not in the top 20. Most of them are Asian cities. So, you know, if you are there, it's probably safer than being here.
Where's New Jersey rank? All right, never mind. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I love this one. Hydrogen-powered buses. That's cool.
Yeah, this is part of that 100% renewable resource blitz. There are almost 700 hydrogen-powered buses that's going to be used for transportation within the competition zone. So, you know, athletes are going to be riding these buses to and from their events. And they do have drivers, so that's good for the athletes. But all hydrogen-powered.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, that's a big deal. So in the total medals one, I'm kind of surprised at the all-time leader here. Winter medals.
Yes, just winter medals. I don't know why you're surprised. You were saying.
Well, I said Germany. Germany's like three.
Well, Norway is the winner. Norway has won 368 winter medals. That's the most of any country. Norway sees much more snow.
Yeah, I guess I should figure they do clean up in the skiing department. But yeah, I mean, that's impressive. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's like how they get places. Like, they ski places.
Wait, you're saying they ski to, like, pick up the groceries?
Yeah.
No, they don't. Come on.
They do. Some people do. They, like, snowshoe. They ski. They, like, cross-country ski places.
Yeah, that's a little crazy. Go ahead.
I was going to say the U.S. is the second at 305, and Germany is the third at 240.
I'm impressed with the U.S. number. I would have thought Germany would have at least been second if they weren't first. Because I always know Germany kills in, like, the biathlon stuff and the cross-country stuff, but yeah, Norway, look at them. They just can't touch them. All right. There are seven people that have won medals at the Winter and Summer Games. I did not know that.
Yeah, and most of them, again, American. Lauren Williams, Eddie Egan, Edward Alvarez are the three Americans. The rest of the people are from Norway, Germany, Canada, and Sweden.
Yeah, if Canada were bigger, they'd have more medals, right? I mean, they certainly have enough snow. I mean,
Yeah, I'm always rooting for them.
Until we steal their athletes, like we did with the, what was that, the ice dancing? Remember we took their gold medal winning team and they became American?
Yes. And then they went on Dancing with the Stars. So.
Oh, they did that too. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's funny. All right. Last one. Cause I am a big Apollo Ohno fan. And so he's still the GOAT.
He's still the GOAT. I'm a huge Apollo Ohno fan. He is the U.S. record for winter medals. So that's 8. He's 2 gold, 2 silver, 4 bronze for speed skating. And I think he's on the broadcast team.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see him. I miss him.
All right. Well, I'm going to watch. I already have a bet rolling on the hockey. I've taken the American women to beat the Canadian women. And if I lose, I have to wear Canadian colors on Instagram and make a fool out of myself. So I'm really hoping the Americans pull through on this. They have a good team. But I do appreciate you taking out the time because a lot of these facts, I had no idea.
Yeah, I hope everyone watches and NBC's buy is worth it. And, you know, what else are you going to watch? There's not – once we get into Pro Bowl season, you know, not hockey, a lot to watch.
Hockey.
Hockey, and then that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad time. I mean, right now is the – even – even this week, it's just the All-Star game for hockey. So the Olympics have a really good, clear track here because it is just the All-Star game, the Pro Bowl. There's like a UFC fight. They're all in Vegas. And then next week, Super Bowl's still not to the weekend. So, yeah, good point. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.